141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Leon Balogun says he thought his return to Rangers was a prank. Celtic show interest in Polish defender Mike Navrocki, and Lewis Mayo seals a permanent move to Kilmarnock. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon Dale.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew. Preparation's still going on for most clubs. Still trying to add to their squads, obviously concentrating their pre-season games. It's all about the fitness, the sharpness, the work that they're doing on the training ground. And everything's focused towards August the 5th and the start of the new season. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're now at that point in either pre-season or into the season for a lot of clubs with the League Cup group stage, where supporters will have a decent idea of what the squads are looking like. They'll either have seen them in competitive action. We've seen plenty of games, as I say, in the League Cup group stages, but you look at the likes of Celtic and Rangers, who have now played high-profile friendlies, and supporters will now have a decent idea of what the squads look like and what they want to add to it as well.
Yeah, but what you can't do is you can't just judge the games. You look at Celtic the other night, they're losing 6 goals. You look at a Newcastle team coming, obviously, McGregor's testimonial. You could just take your mind back to last season in the League Cup group stages, where Jim Goodwin, Dundee United are really struggling at this moment in time. St Mirren were in the same situation, and they went on to have a terrific season. So as much as supporters will be looking at their teams, their squads, maybe the style of play, how they're playing, results obviously in the League Cup sections, it's very early doors. Everybody's still preparing for that league campaign.
Well, simple question to you out there at home. You'll have seen your team in action. What do you make of the way your squad is shaping up, no matter who you support? Other players that you're looking forward to seeing a bit more, players you've got high hopes for the season ahead, some of those summer signings, or maybe there's a player that you expect to kick on from last season. I want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025, or you can send a tweet at Clyde SSB. We did mention those friendlies, but it's good to see the competitive action back in the League Cup. It's been real interesting games as well. Marvin Bartley in the studio last night, his Queen of the South, had a 3-3 draw with Motherwell. Motherwell taking on Queen's Park this weekend. Mm-hmm. St Mirren have been in action. They'll be looking to bounce back from their defeat at the weekend, but loads happening.
Yeah, plenty happening. Plenty of results, plenty of shocks. Already, I touched on it. Jim at Dundee United's come in for a little bit of criticism because of the last couple of results. I think the League Cup campaign's very, very good, especially for the likes of, as you're talking there about Queen of the South. You play Motherwells, you play Premier League clubs, it gives you an idea, it gives you that sharpness, that fitness, because you're probably doing more work off the ball because you're playing a team that's probably superior to you. And there have been some couple of shocks and results, and I'll continue that way. I think everybody's just, you know, so glad to be back up and running. The big two, obviously, they've got the glamour friendly still to come up. I don't think you get a right feel for it until, you know, the first 3-4 weeks into the actual, competition in the league. But I think that they're still, obviously, Celtic Rangers still trying to do business as well, still trying to add to the squads. I'm sure other teams are doing the same. So I think for a supporter just now, any club, it's exciting.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. David is a Rangers fan, first up in Barrhead. David, how are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good. Good, yourselves?
All good, David. How are you feeling about the way Rangers are at the moment in their pre-season preparations?
I was watching the Newcastle game last night, and obviously you can't read too much into a game where there was 10 or 12 subs on each side. But I thought, I was impressed with the guy Lammers, but I thought the game changed for Rangers when they brought on Hadji, and I thought Raskin was sensational. I thought their passing ability and ability on the ball to see passes changed the game. Rangers were the better team, I think, once the two of them came on the park.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with Sam Lammers, who David said he was impressed with. There was a lot of talk from supporters on this show when he'd signed, Rangers fans concerned about his goal record at previous clubs, that he wasn't prolific. Yes, he scored in that game, but Rangers fans will have been pleased with more of his all-round game as well, with what he offered at times.
Yeah, and that's what the pre-season games are all about. And you're up against, I totally understand with David, you don't get carried away with these sort of games, because if you're a player, and I've been involved in management, I've been involved in playing as well, if you're making that many changes, there's no rhythm to the game, Andrew. Basically, what the coaches are doing is simply getting minutes into players' legs, getting players out there, getting them used to the home support, letting the fans see the new players. I think that he touches on Raskin. I think Raskin, since I've seen him, has been a terrific signing. Him and Cantwell have really, really hit the ground running. So it'll be interesting to see if the other players can follow suit. But so far, what I've heard from the signs and training, whatever, I think they're building up a real good, strong squad. And if you look at both clubs, it's going to be with the squads that Rangers and Celtic carry, the competition for places this season has got to be incredible.
You mentioned Raskin. He made an immediate impact when he came in January, as did Todd Cantwell. Do you think the two of them could maybe go up another level now that they've got a pre-season under their belt?
Yeah, 100%. And you come into a club the size of Rangers, sometimes it takes you a little while to bed in, because everybody will tell you, when you play with the two clubs in Scotland, expectations are, you have got to win every game, you have to perform, you've got to be at your best. And sometimes it takes a while to get up to speed for that. Raskin, I've admired him since he came in. I think he's been excellent. He's got to be a massive part of Rangers going forward with Michael Beale, of that there's no doubt. But as I said earlier, when you look at the squads and they're still trying to add to them, the competition, and I think that's what's good for players at these clubs, because the competition, you know that if you know the top of your game, there's somebody sitting there waiting to take their opportunity and take your jersey. So it's going to be interesting over the next coming weeks. And it's not that far away before this league campaign kicks off. I'm going to try and get out to a few games, have a look as well. It'll be really interesting to see how teams are developing.
David, you mentioned Yanis Hadji there and you thought he changed the game when he came on. Are you expecting a big season from him? He obviously found it tough towards the end of last season, was out with a year-long injury, and he was eased back into the team by Michael Beale. But, you know, the same as I was saying earlier on, with a pre-season under his belt and being able to work closely with Michael Beale over an extended period, are you expecting big things from Hadji in his full return?
Yeah, I think he's a quality fit midfielder. I think he's got great technique, he's got the ability to play a pass, but he's also got the ability to dig and win the ball to make that pass. And I think I've got high expectations for him this season, playing alongside Raskin and Cantwell and all these kind of players to get somewhere, and I hope so.
The one thing is, he's now got a lot of competition as well, Yanis Hadji, doesn't he? Because Rangers have brought in a lot of players in that position. And when I say that position, it looks as if it is going to be quite fluid under Michael Beale. But in terms of attacking midfielders that can maybe play a slightly wider role as well, there's quite a lot of numbers in that area.
Look, Hadji was very, very unlucky with injuries. Of that, there's no doubt. The lad has got good ability. What I think will keep you in the team probably this season is the one thing that the modern day midfield player has to do now is add goals to his game. And I think he's certainly got that in his locker. I think he can pick up good positions. I think he's a clinical finisher when he wants to be. I do agree with David. I think he is a very, very skillful player. He just needs that little bit of luck where he's getting the run of games. He's into a settled team. He's playing alongside better players. And it'd be interesting to see how he goes with Michael Beale going forward for next season. But I think the Rangers fans will be excited with the amount of options, especially in the middle of the park, that Rangers have got. And they've got good quality in there, but they need to add goals and they need to be creative. Celtic last year, middle to front, were absolutely brilliant at it. The amount of goals that the front three could score, plus the sort of a fringe players that come on in the wide areas, then you had the middle of the park, the ones that could create for you. If you're going to be successful going forward and you're going to mount a real challenge, that's what the Rangers manager must be looking for me.
David Michael Beale has already said that he expects three players to feature in the friendly against Hamburg on Saturday that didn't feature the other night. Cyril Dessers, Tom Lawrence and Kemar Roofe. Are you looking forward to seeing what they can add? Of course, Kemar Roofe and Tom Lawrence already have been at the club for a while but have been sort of plagued by injuries.
Well, it'll be a chance to see how Lawrence can do. He never really get much of a chance. Dessers, we need to get our strikers on the park and scoring goals before the league starts, just to get them, get their confidence high that they can hit the back of the net at Ibrox, I think.
Yeah, and there were reports today from, I think, the Netherlands that Rangers have put in an improved offer for Danilo, the Feyenoord striker. So Michael Beale certainly doesn't look done in that department. Said after the game the other night that, you know, he's one of several strikers they've still got an eye on.
Yeah, well, the Rangers manager, I don't think, can come out and say that he's not been backed in this transfer window. And quite rightly so, because when they come in, always believed that you had to get to the summer, get the players, obviously, it was the end of their careers at Rangers, and good servants they were, out the door, get his ideas in. You talk about Lawrence here. When Lawrence came on the scene at first, I was very impressed with him. So he'll be like a new player as well, because once again, injuries, Roofe, I think Roofe's got terrific ability, he can get you goals, but question mark once again with injuries, been a bit unlucky. It'll be interesting to see how going forward that's going to develop. But if he has everyone fit in that squad, he's certainly got plenty of options.
Well, thank you to David. Let's stick with the phone. Caroline is up next, Rangers fan in Maryhill. Caroline, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, pal. How are you doing?
Hi,
I was at the testimonial game there. I thought, like the last call I was talking about Hadji there, for me, I thought Hadji was outstanding. I've actually, you know, I follow Hadji on Instagram and stuff like that, and you look at him, I think he's built himself up. He absolutely looks built right across his chest. He's obviously, you know, he's not exactly a big player, but I just think he's looking sharp as a tack. Raskin for me was good, and Ridvan, they were the three kind of showing out the most for me. As I spoke to the producer there before I came on, it's difficult to tell what we think about these new players coming through, because it's a friendly, we're doing roll-on subs, all the young boys were coming out as well, which I thought they absolutely done tremendous. I thought they played a great game, showing, you know, confidence, sending through them as well, which is could be a future as well, some of these young boys going through, moving forward. For me, I'm going to get back to Alan McCoy's days. I still can't seem to come to terms how you can't find another Super Ali. An out-and-out six-yard box poacher who absolutely terrorised Celtic other teams in the past. And for me, I just can't seem to... I spoke to a couple of boys on the supporters list on the way back, and we can have a chat about that. And I think we're just lacking that final third, you know, that Super Ali type of player.
It'll be interesting to see, Gordon. I'll put that point to Gordon, Caroline, because, you know, first of all, it depends on what type of striker or strikers Michael Beale wants to play and what system, because he might not necessarily want to have just an out-and-out, you know, penalty box striker. That's sometimes not the style managers want to go for. They maybe want strikers that can do more, but there is also Cyril Dessers, who Rangers fans haven't seen yet. He may be that type of striker. There's also the potential of Danilo coming in from Feyenoord or another striker as well. So whether it is a penalty box striker or a poacher, the type of player that Carolyn's looking for, you know, Michael Beale's certainly addressing that area and in a real overhaul as well.
Yeah, first and foremost, I totally agree. I think that everyone would like an Ali McCoy's type. I played with Ali at Rangers and I played against him a few times. If I was a manager in the modern day game, looking at the systems and everything, the most important thing at wingy games and wingy trebles and wingy cups is goal scorers. It's as simple as that. I know that nowadays you've got to add a little bit more to your game, but when it all boils down, you get judged, especially at these teams, the size of these teams, and the chances that they'll create week in, week out, because they dominate most games, especially at home. You need a guy like Kyogo last year, just came alive. I watched Kyogo sometimes and thought, you know, he's having a quiet game, nothing's really happened for him, and then he just comes alive in the box and he gets goals. I think that Michael Beale would cut your hand off for an Ali McCoy's type, because guys that can get you the goals that you need, especially when maybe you're not the top of your form, Andrew, is game changers for me. So they're that important. I think a striker, a penalty box striker, that knows where the back of net is, like an Ali McCoy's, but unfortunately they're not round the corner there. I think they're invaluable to you.
When you look at Kamar Roof, and I know we're throwing about the name Ali McCoister, I'm obviously not comparing the two here, but Kamar Roof, whenever he has played for Rangers, has proven that he can score goals. Yes, there's been the issues with injuries, but could that be a key to, you know, just scoring more this season, Rangers scoring more this season, is getting Kamar Roof fit? And I know people say that all the time, but you look at seasons when he's been fit, and even at that, he's maybe not been the lead striker, but 18 goals, 16 goals in the two seasons where, you know, he has played. He certainly guarantees goals when he played, but it's just whether he can get fit or not.
Yeah, that's a big question mark for a lad. There's no doubt he can find the back of the net for you. But once again, we touched on it, there's one or two been a little bit unlucky with injuries. That's what just happens sometimes in your career. You've got setbacks. You've got to pick yourself up, and hopefully that bit of luck changes for you and you can get a run of games. You can show fans what you can do, because he is a threat when he plays. He can score goals. But I look at the overall Rangers side. If, and I keep going back to it, if they are going to be this threat to Celtic, they need more than one player, a Roof or whoever it may be, just scoring 5, 10, 15, 20. They've got to have their wide men scoring goals. They've got to have their midfield creating. You've got to have your midfield players nowadays, for me, scoring double figures. That was where the difference with Celtic were, the amount of goals that they scored from all over the pitch. Rangers have got to find that. Yes, you need a little bit of luck. You need injuries to not mount up, because it has happened to one or two at Rangers. I think there's a lot. You're talking about the Hadjis of this world. You're talking about the Roos, the Lawns. I think that's a big season for a right few Rangers players to stand up. And the most important thing they've got to do is hit the ground running, because you know that Celtic will certainly be in that camp.
Carolyn, what are you looking forward to seeing most in this next friendly game on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the newer players coming in. Obviously, he's given all the players the opportunity of having a run at. I just want to see more of the midfield and the striking force. I think I'm quite happy with Big Balogun coming back. And I thought he looked absolutely outstanding the other night. He's solid at the back. He's confident as well in the area he was covering. You know, without a shadow of doubt, his confidence. He's going to win a ball. He's going to take players out and whatever. I don't mean literally, but for me, I want to see, like, you know, us pushing forward, more pace. We're talking, just as I was saying there, you're saying about it's not about Ali McCoister box player. I know that this modern world, as I say, I played a lot of football in my days, but it's all moving forward to zones and stuff like that, the way the formations are set up as well. I don't know if Bale's going to go for playing with two wide strikers that they are in the ball game, and I don't know if he's going to go back for whatever. Nobody really knows. Let's hope that we can see a wee bit more on Saturday. We'd be interested to see what's happening.
Well, thank you very much to Caroline. Still plenty of time for you to get involved. Celtic fans, maybe you've got some interest in that game that happened against Yokohama F. Marinos. Maybe you've got some thoughts still on that, or the fact that there's plenty of reports today that the club are showing interest in Polish defender Mike Navrocki as well. Maybe you've seen your club in League Cup group action as well. You've got plenty to say on that. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And we want you to join us as well. 01419511025 if you've got anything on your mind, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. There's obviously friendlies going on all over the world at the moment. I did see that on Twitter yesterday that Bayern Munich were playing a friendly against a local German team, and they were 18-0 up at halftime and finished the game 27-0. Who's that good for? What does that do for anyone?
The person that probably scored 24 goals for Barcelona, Bayern Munich, sorry.
I was going to say that would have been tough.
Yeah, Bayern Munich. Yeah, look, That's why you should never read. What teams tend to do is they'll have a couple of closed door games, easy ones where.
I mean, there's easy games, I know, but
that's all about hitting the back end. That's all about confidence. That's all about a wee bit more sharpness. Then you build the games up, and they become tougher and tougher. You'll find that the substitutes will not be as many as what it was at the beginning, because you've got to try and get everybody some minutes in their legs. But I've seen this before, Andrew. In my day when I was a manager, I used to play an amateur team. That was your first game, just so that you could get back in the swing of things.
Have any scorelines like that?
Yeah, not at all. I thought a good 1-0 away from home was great for me, but I've seen this a million times.
Was that you just picking friendlies against easy teams so you weren't getting hounded out the door by the time the season started?
Yeah, but listen, I've got to be honest here, I was never a great one for, winning every game comfortable. Because sometimes you can get carried away, your players can get carried away. I think it's all about timing. It's all about, we keep using this, hitting the ground running. The most important thing for these teams is obviously the league campaign this year. Rangers especially, with the amount of players that they brought in, Brendan Rodgers coming back as a Celtic manager, you want to time that perfectly, and this is why the preparation's so careful.
0141 951 1025 if you want to be up next. But it is William, a Celtic fan, and Craig End, who's through at the moment. William, what are you thinking tonight?
How you doing, guys? Good evening to you.
Hello.
Just need to ask Gordon about the contrast between Ange's style of management and Brendan's style of management. I think the last time Brendan was more possession based, it was, and he changed, and when things went wrong for him during games, he had the ability to change systems and change wee tweaks here and there, Ange didn't do that. It was full on, sort of a plan A, and plan A works, make plan A better, sort of a thing. So I think this time, I'm not saying possession based, more tippy tappy, but still with a good tempo, and I don't think he'll use the inverted fullbacks. I don't think that suits the Brendan Rodgers system, and I also think that he'll put Maeder through the middle more this season as well. I don't think Maeder's a winger, and I don't think he's really a striker either, but I think he's sort of in between, and I think if he can get Maeder in front of goal, I think he'll, like he did at the weekend a couple of days ago.
William, what happens then with Kyogo if you assume that Kyogo's the starting striker? Is Maeder just his backup? Can you see a system where the two of them play together? I think at one point in the friendly against Yokohama, Maeder was still up top and Kyogo was playing in behind him. Is that something you could maybe see more of this season?
I think that's what I was meaning by in-game management with Brendan. I think what he'll do is he'll change it, and he'll go to it up front in some games. I think that's the main difference between Brendan Rodgers and Ange, I think the styles are different, because I think Ange is more direct in his style, whereas Brendan Rodgers is more possession-based, and that's why I don't think he'll use the inverted fullbacks.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting, William, and I think everybody's looking forward to this to see what Brendan Rodgers, what type of football he's going to bring to Celtic Park, because when he was there at first, and now remember the style of football that he brought, you can't argue was very, very successful. I know Ange Postecoglou was completely different. Bums off seat, the way they went forward, the pace, the ball boys getting the ball in very, very quickly. Brendan, I don't think that sort of manager. I think he thinks more about the game, about keeping the possession, whether they have to be patient, then try and play through teams. But I think Brendan Rodgers tactically is very good. I remember watching one of the games at Ibrox, and I think Graham Murty was the interim manager with Rangers, and he showed the experience he had, because Celtic went down to 10 men, and I think everybody was waiting on Brendan Rodgers making a substitution, a defensive one, and he put on attacking players. And he threw it so tactically, you've got to say Brendan Rodgers has been around the block a long, long time. He certainly knows the tactics of a football game. But I think, like every Celtic fan, they're that used to in the last few years of this basically this three wide guys, bags of pace, bags of movement, getting the ball up there very quick, inverted fullbacks. Because when Postecoglou came in at the beginning and used that system, it caught everybody out. Let's be honest, it was absolutely brilliant. It caught everybody out because people couldn't handle it, and he had the right players to play it. Greg Taylor turned into one of the best players going about doing it. So it'll be interesting to see in the coming weeks. One, is he going to go with a striker in one off? Is he going to go with the two wide men with the pace? Is he going to play a diamond in the middle of the park? But I keep going back to what I says about Rangers. The one thing that they've got is they've certainly got options to change their formation when they want.
On Daizen Maeda, William saying he thinks you can see him playing more centrally this season. Can you see that? He especially, you know, scored a hat-trick, a first-half hat-trick in the friendly this week. But we've had callers on that have said that they think Celtic need another striker to complement Kyogo and Oh. Could that be Maeda? You know, because Brendan Rodgers has tested him out in there in a friendly, and it certainly went well from an attacking sense.
Yeah, that's what the friendlies are for. That's what I'm saying. Brendan would probably have worked on that in the training field and decided, does it suit? Because what you've got to remember as well, as much as you look at that and you think, oh, that could work, you've had a player who was player of the year last year, scored, what, over 30 goals. So you've got to make sure that as much as you're changing your formation, much as you're thinking Maeda up front with his pace is going to really hurt teams, you've got to remember you've got to keep the strength of Kyogo because he's your goal scorer. So if Brendan Rodgers thinks that partnership could work, then certainly, because I keep going back to the quality that's coming in behind them, that can find their runs and their passing is excellent from Celtic. But I'll be interested to see Brendan thinks that is the way to go forward.
Well, thank you to William. Let's stick on that topic with Ian, who's a Celtic fan in Greenock. Ian, have you got some thoughts on that?
Yeah, how you doing, Andrew? How you doing, Gordon?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Gordon. I've met you before many, 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 many years ago. Plus, I met you in the Mearns when I was in the security.
Oh, yeah.
But you also met me when I was a 17-year-old at Ibrox in the Rangers training area. That was a long time ago.
Hope you're not going to tell a bad story about me, and please.
No, listen, I have never said a bad story about you, mate.
Thank you very much.
I would even slag you. No, I mean, because you're a good guy. But no, it's just you were talking about you were a centre forward just like myself, Gordon. And we're talking about, you were debating there about Maeda, the both of you, winger, centre forward. You could play him alongside Kyogo, not directly up top, but behind him, like a false number nine, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, if you look at his first goal yesterday, a lot of people thought he'd missed it, but into the roof of the net. But you look at the pass, Andrew, for Hitati, he took out that whole defence and abad him down the line. Thought it was a wee bit offside, but I don't think he used VAR yesterday. But he scored three good goals yesterday, and could have scored five or six. Easy. So, I don't know, Gordon, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I think that obviously I'm sort of sat on the fence. Where is his best position? Because, one, defensively, I think he's brilliant if he's playing against a very attacking fullback. And most fullbacks in modern day football are very attacking now because his work rate's brilliant. Secondly, on the fact that fullbacks go forward and leave that space, that he's got bags of pace that can hurt you left, right, and he still gets goals from there. Now, Brendan Rodgers, and that's what I said about the supply from the Celtics middle of the park. You know that they've got the quality. You make the runs, these guys normally find you. It's just what the Celtic manager feels is right, because as I get back to it, you could move things about and take away the strength of Kyogo. Kyogo might be a guy that plays up there in his own. That's where he likes to play, because he finds more space. He can make the runs off the shoulder of defences, where all of a sudden there's a partner up there and, you know, he's making that run and maybe blocking Kyogo's space. But they'll certainly work on it in training. They've got the pre-season games they might have a look at. But I just think that it's one of those things that it's going to be options. I think Brendan Rodgers is a very forward thinking manager, in the sense that he goes into games and he looks at probably all games different. Ange Postecoglou went into the games, you knew what you were getting from the Celtic team. You knew the formation, you knew the way they were going to play with the fullbacks. I don't think you'll find that this year. I think Brendan Rodgers will tweak one or two things going into different games.
Rodgers certainly found a lot of success in his first spell at Celtic, which, yes, was a long time ago now, with an established number 10, whether it was Ryan Christie, whether it was Stuart Armstrong, whether it was Tom Rogic, all players that had a big impact in the game. Do you feel that's something that he may look to utilise again this season? And if so, who is that player? Could that be a Daizen Maeda and, you know, press from that position? Is it someone like a Matt O'Reilly?
Yeah, I think he's got the options to go and do that. And I know that you look at Celtic, for instance, I think McGregor, in my personal opinion, would be absolutely brilliant in that role. I know that the Celtic fans like him to be on the ball and dominate, because that's the sort of player he is. But I think he's got that much ability that he can play that.
But then do you move him when, you know, he's been arguably the best player in the country from the position he's been in for the last couple of years?
But then we're asking the question, do you move Kyogo about a little bit when he's been the player of the year and scored 30 odd goals for Celtic and he was banging them in left, right and centre? Only the manager knows that by working with his players and how he's going to fit the system in. But as I said, you knew what you were getting with Postecoglou. Everybody knew what they were getting. He wouldn't tweak it for anybody. That's the way he played. I think Brendan Rodgers is in a different ballpark here. I think he will tweak his formation and his players and the style of football according to the games.
A story today that I saw, certainly from Stephen McGowan, the Scottish Daily Mail, that Celtic are interested in Polish defender Mike Nawrocki, who is at Legia Warsaw. He's been on the fringes of the Poland team, not a full international yet, 22 years old. I think was in the provisional squad for the World Cup, but that will certainly be a position you'd think Brendan Rodgers will be looking at, not just because, you know, they conceded six goals the other day, but, you know, a lot of people have maybe targeted that as an area that they think Celtic could see some improvement in.
100%. I'll be very, very surprised and shocked that Brendan Rodgers didn't bring in another quality centre-half. I know he's got options there. His main one, obviously, Carter Vickers and Starfelt under Postecoglou were absolutely brilliant. Terrific partnership. But he needs more, because there's a lot of games to be played. You can pick up niggly injuries. You can pick up suspensions. You look at Iwata the other night there at right back. For me, he's never a right back. So you've got to have that cover. You've got to have that two, three quality players. You can't get enough quality players in each position. The hardest part of your job then is, with the quality players, is as a manager, and this is where I thought Postecoglou was probably one of the best, he knows how to keep them happy. Right, there was not a lot of grumblings coming out of Celtic Park under Ange Postecoglou, because he knew how to manage. I think Brendan Rodgers is certainly in that same bracket, and I do see other players coming in, and especially in the defensive position.
Well, thank you to Ian. You could be up next after the break by calling 01419511025. But first of all, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you.
Register. Clyde One.
Well, we had a rollover as the call went to five rings, missing out on £44,444. But let's end the week on a high with a winner. Why don't we? Because it's your chance to win £45,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. But you need to be in the draw. Enter now. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get the call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, answer within five rings. Make sure you know the correct cash register amount as well. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Leanne won on Wednesday have rolled over, and all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £45,000. Good luck.
The Cash Register on Clyde One. 01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved as well. Are you shuffling about enough over there?
I'm fine, yeah.
Okay.
you caught me off guard.
01419511025 if you want to get involved, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. A bit of signing news today coming out of Kilmarnock, and it's that they have sealed a return for Lewis Mayo, who spent last season on loan there from Rangers, but he's now signed a permanent 3-year deal. So Derek McInnes making moves to sort out their defence. He's obviously brought Stuart Finlay back already, which is a signing he was very happy with, and Lewis Mayo in there as well. When you look at the league table last season, I think they conceded the second most goals. Mm-hmm. Only Dundee United conceded more, so he'll be wanting a solid foundation. That said, they only conceded 2 more goals than Aberdeen, who finished in 3rd place, so it was quite a topsy-turvy team.
Yeah, it was a difficult season for him, foreseen back up. It was always going to be difficult, Andrew. So Derek's a very experienced manager. Obviously lost his assistant manager to Dundee. So it's a new change for him as well, because him and Tony Dock worked together for a long, long time. I think Paul Sheeran's part of the squad, the backroom staff. I know Paul very well. Lovely guy. I had him at Air United, so... for all the people at Kilmarnock, all the Kilmarnock supporters will be hoping for a better season.
Well, we will go to Paul in Crookston in a second, but before that, let's hear a bit from Leon Balogun. He's been speaking to the media today after returning to Rangers, and he says that he thought he was a prank call when his agent first phoned him about returning to the club.
I actually didn't even expect it. It was just one evening, and my agent texted me. It was quite funny. He lined it up a bit like, yeah, would you consider going somewhere else? And I was like, well, where? What's the deal? And he said, yeah, I'm not sure. It's a bit of a smaller club. And I was like, well, how small? What are we talking about? My gut feeling told me maybe, because we have a really good relationship, maybe he's trying to wind me up. And he was like, oh, only the wee Glasgow Rangers. I said, no, this is not real. You're joking. And he said, no, what do you think? And I said, look, because it was quite late. I said, I'm tired. Age is catching up, my eyes are falling down, I can't keep them up. I need to sleep a night on this, and if it's still there, then I can believe you. And as I put my phone down, a message still came through, and it just said it's real. And I struggled to fall asleep that night a little bit. But the decision was made, my instant decision was clear. No, but really, really happy. Like, everybody around me, all the people, even people that I'm not super close with, but like, you know, distant friends, they messaged me because they all knew how happy I was when I was here before. And therefore, it's a really round and a nice thing.
Yeah, Paul is a Rangers fan in Crookston. Paul, what are you thinking tonight?
Oh, hi there, Andrew. Thanks for letting me on. Just a couple of points, really. I was at the game the other night, and the one guy stood out to me. God, might know him. Been the Motherwell links and everything else, but the guy, Bailey Rice, I haven't really heard of him, to be honest, but me and my mate were saying, just from a distance, I'm not going to say he's going to turn out to be that player, but he had the same physique as Calvin Bassey, just quite a big, strong type guy. And I just thought he seemed to have a good lot of potential. Hopefully, he'll get an opportunity. I just wanted your thoughts on that. And just another wee point I wanted to say.
Yeah, I'll put that to Gordon first, and I'll let you come back in. Bailey Rice was obviously signed by Rangers from Motherwell's mm-hmm. academy. Motherwell had really high hopes for him in their academy. He then sort of rejected a professional offer with Motherwell to go to Rangers, actually made his Rangers debut last season as well. But the fact that he's involved again at the age of 16, doesn't turn 17 until October, it shows that Michael Beale's got a lot of faith in the midfielder.
Well, certainly has. He's in there in merit, obviously. He must be shown day in, day out in the training ground, Andrew, how much he's maturing into a young footballer. And the manager's got every confidence in the world to put him into a game like that. And I like to see that, and I think the fans like to see that as well. Yes, there's a lot of competition there for that, but I think what the manager's really saying to him, look, I don't care what age you are, if you go and perform, then you will get an opportunity under my leadership. And I think that's great news for young players.
Yeah, and Paul was saying, you know, he thought that he was well developed physically, Bailey Rice, that he could handle himself in a game against a Premier League side, which will always help in a player's development.
Well, the one thing I always found about English teams when they come up, whether it be Premier League team or a Championship team, they were physical. You had to be able to handle yourself. They were very strong. The one thing that the English teams go for with the amount of money that they spend down there is bags of pace as well. So look, I think it was brilliant, and I'm delighted that Paul's obviously been very impressed with him. He's still a long way to go, but it's a start, and if you're given an opportunity, there's a lot of young players out there that's all they need. They need the opportunity, they need the belief of the manager, who thinks, I don't care what age you are, 16, 17, you're doing it every day against good quality players in training, and I've got the belief in you. So it's now up to a young lad.
Do you want to come back in, Paul?
Well, another young player, just to say before I make my second point, is Adam Definer. I'd like to see a wee bit more of him. I think he's quite good. But just to say, it's a bit of fire play news I heard today. I just wanted your thoughts on... I don't want to put you in the spot, but I do want to get your thoughts from a media point of view. Neil Doncaster and Murdoch McLenlin, like, they're the gatekeepers of the SPFL, really. I just feel it's been a big letdown again, to be honest, and for the salary they guys get, I want to know, is there some sort of appraisal that they get every year? Because Sky didn't fulfil their obligation last year with the games.
Well, Paul, I'll just go into the Viaplay one at the moment, because I think there are a few misconceptions about it. You know, some people, I've maybe just read the headlines and think that Viaplay are completely, you know, pulling the plug on Scottish football and won't be showing anything. The Viaplay Cup matches that they're, of course, the rights holders for, they will be shown as normal. The SPFL, I'm told, are, you know, confident that they will get their full payments. Their payments are up to date from Viaplay, and Viaplay have said that, you know, what's being broadcast today, expect to be broadcast tomorrow type thing. There's also the Scottish national team matches. They're on Viaplay as well. Those deals are brokered through UEFA. So, you know, I think if you ask someone from the SPFL, they'll say, you know, yes, we've accepted this deal from Viaplay, but, you know, UEFA are also sorting deals through Viaplay as well. And it's really just Viaplay that have turned round and decided, you know, we now don't want to, they need to cost cuts. Sorry. They need to cut costs, essentially. Yeah. And that's where they've decided to do it. It's certainly not ideal for everyone, but at the moment, there doesn't seem to be an immediate impact on Scottish football.
No, there's not real big panic just now, Andrew. But interesting, we've got to watch this going forward, how it's going to develop. I think it's very hard to blame individuals when, you know, the company has decided to cut back the costs. Obviously, everybody entered the agreement in good faith, and sometimes it just happens, but I don't think everybody's panicking just now, but it's certainly one that we'll need to keep an eye on going forward here.
Yeah, Paul does make a broader point there about the SPFL and the governance of the SPFL, which is an interesting point. I'd love to say that we could spend more time on it, but unfortunately we are coming to the end of the show tonight. It will be something I'm sure we'll touch on in the future a lot more, but thank you very much to Paul for that interesting point. Just shuffling around, bashing the microphone. That's been, you've been doing that the whole night, is it?
That's just the way I roll.
Is that you just packing up because you know that the show's finishing?
I'm just letting everybody know that's listening out there that I'm getting home soon.
You're just folding your, to be fair, at least you're like tidying up on your way out as well. That's like when, you know, clubs get praised because they leave the dressing room in a clean state once they've finished.
Well, I've come in here a few nights and some of the way this table's been left is an absolute disgrace.
What are you trying to say about Marvin Bartley last night?
And Kenny Miller, he's one as well. To be fair, I steal all his notes because he leaves them there.
Also, for as much as you call Marvin Martin, there was a caller last night that did call him Martin, but we did let that one slide.
I can't wait to work with him again. MB, I'll call him.
Well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight, but thank you to Gordon DL in the studio. Thank you for all your calls and tweets, and thank you if you just listened at home as well. Plenty to discuss tomorrow night as well. I'll be back in the studio. It'll be Hugh Keevans alongside me, so make sure to join us then, but stay right there because Amber is up next with all your Thursday throwbacks.